Until the World Falls Away by Misanagi, read by Rhea 314. Fandom, Gundam Wing, pairing Joel Barton Catcher Winner and Duo Maxwell Hero Yui. Rating mature, no archive warnings apply. Summary. Everyone knows that Catcher Winner is the CEO of WEI, but very few know that he's also a preventer agent, and he likes to use that to his advantage. Catcher Winner straightened his tie, ran a hand through his hair, hid a knife under his right pant leg, and put on his glasses. His eyes met Troa's through the rearview mirror. He gave Troa a small smile and asked, "How do I look?" Troa kept his hands on the wheel, but his eyes were looking at the rearview mirror instead of the road. "I like the glasses." With a shrug, Catra said, "Duo gave them to me. They have night vision and make me look nerdy." "You look sexy." Troa smirked. Letting out a laugh, Catra shook his head. "I'm not supposed to look sexy. I'm supposed to look like a defenseless heir who knows little more than to sign papers." He placed a pin over the tie to keep it in place. "If they decide to frisk me, then the mission goes to hell." He tapped the pin. "Can you and Duo hear me?" Troa put a hand over the small receiver in his ear, probably waiting to hear Duo's reply. "We both hear you," he said after a moment. "We're almost there." He turned around. "Take care." With that, Troa rolled up the window that separated the passenger seat with the drivers. The car slowed down as they approached the gate of the big mansion. "Master Catra Reverba Winner here to see Mr. Henderson." Catra almost flinched when he heard Troa say his name that way. That was how his employees addressed him, not his lover. Catra reminded himself that right now, Troa was his employee. Straightening his back, Catra tried to look as arrogant as he could. It was time to play the rich brat. He lowered his window a bit, giving the security guard a dismissive look, before he rolled it back up. The gate opened moments later, and the car stopped in front of the mansion. The car door was opened, and Catra stepped outside. He didn't even spare a glance at Troa, and instead just walked directly to the mansion's door. Two guards moved to block him, and even though they were both taller than him, Catra managed to look down at them. "Is there a problem?" he asked, his voice warning that there had better be none. "We need to search you for weapons," said one of the guards, moving towards Catra. Catra took a step back. "I'm a guest. If I'm going to be treated as some common criminal, then Mr. Henderson doesn't value my presence." With that, he turned around and started walking to the car. Troa was already opening the door for him when he heard a voice behind him. "Master Winner, you'll have to excuse my men. They have no manners." Catra looked at Boris Henderson over his shoulder, without really turning around, and waited for the man to catch up to him. "Please," said Henderson, "join me for a drink." There was a tone of desperation in his voice. Hiding a sigh of relief, Catra took his time, as if he was pondering Henderson's request. He finally nodded and followed the man into the house, ignoring the guards. He took off his coat and handed it to the waiting maid. Catra liked that coat. It was a shame that he would have to leave without it. Henderson led them to the library, all while thanking Catra for taking time of his busy schedule to meet with him. Catra accepted the thanks gracefully, relying on all his manners to refrain from hitting the man in the face so he would shut up. He had hated Henderson from the first time the man had introduced himself to Catra at a society banquet. Henderson had been trying to arrange a meeting with Catra for months, but Catra's trusted secretaries always managed to cover for him. There was something about the man that made Catra want to stay meters away from him, and Catra was usually very good at judging people. His suspicions had proven correct when the preventers had discovered that Henderson was involved in black market weapons trading. They had leads, but still lacked enough evidence to arrest him. Apparently, Henderson kept all his files at home, and they were printed with no computer backup. Preventers had sent one of their best agents to retrieve the files and gather enough evidence. That had been a day ago, and Hiro Yui had yet to contact them. There was no doubt in anyone's mind that Hiro had been captured, but launching a rescue mission was almost impossible. They couldn't order an official raid until they had proof. The security on Henderson's house had been improved since Hiro's break-in, and it was impossible to sneak in undetected. Catra, however, had been invited. He had one of his secretaries contact Boris Henderson and set up an appointment for drinks at the man's house late that evening. Henderson had been delighted and accepted. The mission had been planned quickly. Catra would go inside, retrieve the evidence, and rescue Hiro. Troa would pose as Catra's driver and secure their exit, plus provide additional backup. Duo and Wu Fei would command two teams of preventers who would go into the mansion and finish the job once Catra, Troa, and Hiro were clear and the evidence secured. So now Catra was sitting in Henderson's library, having a scotch, and trying his best to appear like the snobbish businessman he was supposed to be. "I think this could be a very profitable deal," Henderson continued. He had been trying to get Catra to agree to a business partnership for the last 15 minutes, and Catra was finding it more difficult to tune him out. "With your capital and my connections, I can guarantee that you'll triple your assets in 2 months." Catra nodded thoughtfully. "You do realize that if I produce low-quality machinery, then my business will be affected." "That's the beauty of it," the man whispered. "These machines won't have the winner name on them, but you can still get the profits." "Me or my company?" Catra raised an eyebrow. Before Henderson could answer, the library door opened and one of the guards came inside. "Everything okay, sir?" "Yes." The man waved a hand at the door. "Thank you very much." As the door closed behind the guard, Henderson gave Catra a sheepish look. "They check on me every 30 minutes. I had to increase security. There was a break-in recently." He took a case of cigars from the nearby table and offered one to Catra. Catra accepted the cigar and lit it before he said almost carelessly, "You can never be too careful." Then, in a swift movement, Catra stood up, dropped the cigar, and grabbed Henderson by the neck with his right arm. Immediately he retrieved a handkerchief from his breast pocket and put it over Henderson's mouth and nose. The handkerchief had been covered with an odorless drug. Catra only had to hold on to the man for 30 seconds before Henderson's limbs started to relax and he was unconscious. Carefully, Catra placed him on the chair with his back to the door. "Well, you heard that," Catra whispered into his pin. 03, if I'm not out in 30 minutes, get out of here." Catra couldn't hear the reply. They hadn't found a secure way to give him a receiver, so he could only transmit using the microphone hidden in his pin. Troa would probably ignore that order, but Catra had to at least try. The best thing he could do was find Hiro, gather the evidence, and get out before the time ran out. Preventers had taken satellite infrared pictures of the mansion. Catra had studied them, and if the blueprints were correct, the entrance to the underground offices was located in the library. Walking to the wall that, according to the blueprints, had the hidden door, Catra ran his hands over all the books on the bookcase. One of them felt cool to the touch. Catra pulled, and instead of a book, he found a small panel asking for a password. Reaching deep inside the pocket of his jacket, Catra took out a small hacking device and connected it to the panel. A few moments later, he heard a beep, and part of the wall slid to the side, showing him the entrance. There was no need to keep up appearances anymore. If someone found him in this part of the mansion, they wouldn't care if he was Mr. Winner, Relina Darlian, or the Pope. They would shoot and ask questions later. Maybe. Reaching under his jacket, Catra took out one of his guns and walked through the door. The corridor was illuminated by a fluorescent light. There were no doors except for the one at the far end. It led to an elevator, and the only way to get down to the hidden offices. Catra didn't doubt that Hiro was being kept there. Pressing the elevator button, he raised up his gun and pointed it at the door. Thankfully, the elevator was empty. Catra stepped inside and waited for the elevator to make the trip down. His gun once again trained on the door. He wasn't so lucky this time. When the elevator doors opened, Catra was faced by two men who had been talking until they saw him. Catra moved quickly. He launched at one of the men, using the butt of his gun to hit him on the head and knock him unconscious. Meanwhile, the other had time to take out his gun and point it at Catra. The man held the gun firmly, his finger on the trigger, his eyes on Catra. He was a pro. Since it was too late to try the innocent routine, Catra threw his gun at the man, distracting him for a second. Then, with remarkable speed, he drew another gun from his shoulder holster and fired. The bullet hit the man on his hand, forcing him to drop his own weapon. A low whistle was the only sound the gun made, but the man's loud scream was probably heard by every person in the building. The man collapsed on the floor, holding his hand and screaming. Quickly, Catra took the man's gun and placed it in the back of his pants before retrieving his own. Catra kicked the man softly in the stomach to get his attention, then pointed his guns at him. "Tell me, where is the man you captured 2 days ago, or I'll shoot you in the other hand?" He didn't yell, just used a firm tone that let the man know he wasn't making idle threats. The man weakly pointed to one hallway and whispered, "Room 205. With both weapons drawn, Catra headed in the direction the man had pointed. 02, my cover is blown. Kill the lights. 03, secure the exit. This won't be a clean extraction." Moments later, the power went off and the corridor was left in darkness. Catra pressed a small button on the frame of his glasses and the night vision was activated. Now he had the advantage. He moved quietly and quickly, looking at the many numbered doors and keeping alert. When he turned a corner, he saw a guard heading on his direction. Apparently, Catra hadn't been seen, so he took a step back, pressing himself to the wall. Unfortunately, his expensive designer shoes weren't exactly appropriate for combat, and the slick soles made Catra stumble. He managed to catch himself before he fell, but he'd already made enough noise, and the guard was now pointing his weapon in Catra's general direction. Catra swallowed a curse and dropped to the floor. He kicked the man's feet out from under him, making him fall. Startled, the man fired his weapon at air before Catra hit him on the head. Not wasting a moment, Catra took the man's weapon, placed it in his shoulder holster, and continued down the corridor. He was more careful now, making sure there was no one in his path and being as silent as possible. He loosened his tie as he ran, cursing his designer shoes and the three-piece suit he was wearing. Finally, he found room 205 and used the decoder to open the electronic key. No sooner had the door slid open than someone kicked his feet from under him and a fist was aimed at his face. Catra caught the fist and said, "Hiro, it's me!" At the same time, Hiro was about to knee Catra in the stomach. Hiro pulled back his attack and offered Catra a hand up. "Status?" Catra asked, even though he knew Hiro wouldn't be too bad if he'd been able to attack him like that. "They sedated me. The drug is already out of my system. A little dehydration." Catra noticed that Hiro looked fine, but had his hands cuffed and his feet shackled. He gave Hiro one of his guns before taking out some lockpicks and working on Hiro's restraints. Catra pondered giving Hiro the glasses, but not being the best at picking locks in the dark, he decided to keep them. On the other hand, he trusted that Hiro could aim just by listening to the breathing of any guards closing in on them. It took Catra a couple of minutes, but he managed to get the shackles and cuffs off Hiro. Then he handed Hiro the gun he had taken from the first man, and drew the one he had taken from the second. "Mine is the A-12, he told Hiro. "It has a silencer, a complete clip, and I have an extra one. The B-17 was taken from one of the guards. There are 16 rounds left. Are you okay enough to go and get the evidence?" "I'm fine," Hiro said. "I found the file, but they got to me before I could take it. I don't think they realized I knew which file to take, though. Catra nodded. So it's probably still in the same place. He took off his glasses and gave them to Hiro. Lead the way. Following Hiro in the dark was almost like following a ghost. Hiro was moving fast and quietly, but he let his steps make the barest sound so Catra was able to follow him. Catra didn't hesitate. He kept pace with Hiro, trusting his friend to warn him if there was any danger, but at the same time keeping all his other senses alert. Catra's sixth sense was even sharper in the dark, so he noticed the man sneaking up behind them before Hiro did. Catra turned quickly, putting himself between Hiro and the threat. He fired where he thought the man was. Two shots were heard. Catra's was a soft whistle, while the man's was a loud roar. Then a third shot followed, and Catra heard the man hitting the floor. It took Catra a moment to feel the pain. His arm stung, and he didn't need to see to know that he had been hit. He took a deep breath, biting his tongue to hold back a scream, and trying not to give in to the urge to touch his wound. He couldn't let his guard down. Not yet. "He's down," Hiro's voice announced after a second. Catra lowered his injured arm and let out a hiss. "Did I miss? Did you kill him?" "He's alive. You got him in the shoulder, I on his right leg." Catra could feel Hiro approaching him, and soon there was some pressure being applied to his wound. "You took that hit for me. He was aiming at me." Catra smiled despite the pain and just said, "He was. I couldn't see." There was the sound of fabric tearing, then Hiro helped Catra take off his jacket and tied a piece of cloth over the wound to try and stop the bleeding. "We are going now," said Hiro. "You need medical attention." Catra snatched his hand back and whispered a stream of curses that would make Duo proud. "We are not leaving without the evidence. We can't arrest Henderson without it." He looked at the shadow he thought was Hiro's face and spoke with determination. "I'm fine. The sooner we get the evidence, the sooner we can go." After a moment, Hiro grumbled acceptance and started walking. Catra noticed that Hiro's pace, while not slow by any means, was slower now. Catra winced as the movement made his arm hurt. He tried to ignore the pain and focus on the sound of Hiro's steps. Soon they stopped in front of a door. Hiro punched in a code, and the door opened. "Fools, they didn't even change it." They walked inside, and Hiro closed the door behind them. He helped Catra to a chair facing the door. "Shoot if it opens." Catra was grateful to be able to sit. He was feeling drowsy, and he was worried that maybe he had lost too much blood. He kept his good arm raised and the gun pointed towards the door, but let the other hand lay limply by his side. It was aching even more than before. It took Hiro a couple of minutes to find the file. When he did, he moved Catra behind some filing shelves where he would be covered. "Where's your comm?" he asked. "Taipin," Catra said, "but it's just a transmitter and a tracer. It doesn't receive." "Who's listening?" Hiro asked. "Duo and Troa." Catra's breathing was coming faster. "Duo's heading one of the teams outside, Wufei the other. Troa's in the compound. He was posing as my driver." Catra felt Hiro's hands reaching for his tie. The pin was pulled off, and then Hiro said, "04 is injured. We have the evidence. You can move in. We'll stay put. Knock before entering the room, or I'll shoot." That was all the information Duo and Troa would need, and they would relay it to Wufei. Now Hiro and Catra just had to wait for the cavalry to arrive. Catra felt Hiro undo his tie, and then secure it tightly over his injury. "You are a fool, Catra." "Maybe," Catra said. "I'm glad that you're okay." Hiro snorted. "Aren't you supposed to be running a company instead of launching rescue missions?" "WEI is no fun," Catra replied. "Hardly anyone tries to shoot me there." "Not funny, Winner." Catra apologized, and that was the end of the conversation. They waited silently for about 20 minutes, listening to the fight outside until they heard a knock on the door before it slid open. "Hero, don't shoot." Duo's voice was easy to recognize. The power was back on, and there was light on the corridor, but the room Hero and Catra were in was still dark. "House is clean," Duo announced as he walked in, followed by Sally Poe. "Tro is making sure there's an ambulance ready, and Wufei's handling the prisoners." Sally walked directly towards Catra, and then gestured to a couple of preventers carrying a stretcher to come in. "I can walk," Catra said as soon as he saw them. "You lost a lot of blood, Catra. You're not walking." Sally's tone left no room for arguments. Catra had known Sally long enough to know that arguing with her over medical matters was a lost cause. With a sigh, which was quickly followed by a wince, Catra climbed onto the stretcher and let the preventer agents carry him out. Duo smiled down at him. "Thank you," he said, and Catra could see that Duo's hands were grasping Hero's. Catra only returned the smile and closed his eyes. They had the evidence. Henderson was under arrest, and Hero was safe. He could rest now. The first thing Catra saw when he woke up was a white ceiling. His mind immediately associated the sight with a hospital, and Catra couldn't help but groan. He hated hospitals. "Not a morning person," Duo's voice asked. Catra only managed to say, "Shut up. Shut up," while he blinked and tried to get his eyes to focus. Turning his head to the side, he saw that all the former pilots were there. Wufei was standing by the door, Hero and Duo were on the small sofa, and Tro was kneeling by the bed, his hand over Catra's. "Hi," Catra said, and then added, "Can I get out of here?" Wufei snorted. "Sally said at least 3 days." Catra groaned again. "How are you feeling?" asked Troa. There was worry in his eyes. Catra interlaced his fingers with Troa and smiled. "Groggy," he said. His arm wasn't really hurting, it just felt sore. "I guess they pumped me full of meds." He didn't like the idea of not being able to be alert, but with all his friends there, he knew he was safe. "How did the mission go?" "Henderson is in a cell. His men were arrested as well, and the evidence to lock them away for a very long time is being processed." Duo winked. Catra sighed. "Is it stupid to say I miss this stuff?" Wufei raised an eyebrow. "You miss being shot in the arm?" Troa glared at Catra. "No. Yes." Catra looked at his bandaged arm. "I miss feeling like I'm doing something. Something more than signing papers all day. Something important." "Quit," Hero said simply. "I'm the owner, I can't quit." "I thought you had at least 15 sisters willing to take over the company," Troa replied. He wasn't glaring anymore, and his eyes looked almost hopeful. "Yes, but..." Catra couldn't find a way to finish the statement. Maybe it was time for him to take control of his life back. His arm would need healing, and he could use that time to hand the company to his sisters. He was already a preventer, and he had no doubt that Un would put him on active duty the moment he requested it. By becoming a full-time preventer, he could spend time with his friends again, fight with them and protect them. And even more important, he could spend more time with Troa. WEI took so much of Catra's life that they hardly ever saw each other. Catra smiled and closed his eyes, ready to take another nap. He might as well rest now. If he wanted his dream to come true, there would be a lot of work to do. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening, and happy ITPE, Arkadyevna!